Praise God for that. Amen? Amen. I love to see the young people engaged in God's service. And it warms my heart to know that an ensemble of young people can come together and create beautiful heavenly music. It's a testimony of what God can do in a life. And you know what amazes me? As a musician myself, what amazes me to think about, we have a statement from Ellen White. Is it okay to use Ellen White in this church? Okay, praise the Lord. We're in good company then. She says that compared to the music she heard in heaven, all music on earth sounds harsh. That's incredible to me because that was just very beautiful. And so I'm looking forward to that day when I can hear those heavenly strains and strings and voices, 10,000 upon 10,000 voices reigning in victory. But friends, before we sing those melodious strains of victory, there's a war to be fought, isn't there? My family sends their greetings from New Mexico. We're transplants from California, and we moved there about 3 years ago. I would ask for your prayers. My wife is actually having a Lyme disease. She has chronic Lyme disease, and she's having a flare-up. And I'm leaving directly here tomorrow and flying and meeting them in New York City, and then we're flying to Norway. And so she's starting to feel sick, and she's not feeling well. And if you would lift her up, her name is Kobe, C-O-B-Y. I'd really appreciate that. She's not even going to church this morning. They're going to have church together, my two boys, and they send their greetings. Before we begin, I would like to offer yet another prayer, a prayer of consecration and dedication to the Lord before we begin. If you'd like, you can join me in kneeling. Otherwise, bow your head. Father, I love calling you Father. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask that you would be with our service this morning. And Father, I ask that you would hide me behind your cross. Not my words, but your words spoken. I submit to you, Father, as a humble servant, asking that you would just be with my mouth and teach me what I should say. Teach me, Father, what you would have me to share this morning. I know what I was thinking of presenting, but Father, it may not be the best. So I just surrender this service to you because it's not about me, it's about Jesus Christ. We ask that you would be our teacher this morning. Send us and bless us with the Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Turn with me to Revelation 12 and verse 11. And we started, by the way, while you're doing that, I want to let you know, I'm Christian Berdahl, and I'm from Shepherd's Call Ministry. I'm the director of that ministry. And if you'd like some further information about our ministry, I have a free message in the back that'll be out at the registration table, and you can avail yourselves of those. This is what it looks like. And in here is a sermon and a song and a little bit of information about our ministry. Revelation 12 and verse 11, and this was read as our opening verse, and we're going to start with this verse, and we're going to come all the way back to it, and we're going to end with this verse. And my goal this morning, my desire is that you see something in this verse that you've never seen before. As I was studying this text, this chapter, God brought to my mind something I had never seen before, and I want to share that with you this morning. And they, who's that? That's us, the church, right? And the church overcame him. Who's that? The devil. And the church overcame the devil by the what? The blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. So there's two things here, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto what? The death. That's quite a verse, isn't it? And it's not an unfamiliar verse. It's a very common verse used in and around our congregations. And I submit to you that there's actually four different elements in this scripture that you may not have seen before, and hopefully by the end of this message, they will become clear. Turn with me to John 15. We're going to be in our Bibles this morning, and if you can flip and keep up, that would be wonderful. I don't have a lot of time, and I have a lot of material, so I'll talk fast as long as you can listen fast. Amen? Amen. All right, John 15 and verse 5. Who's talking here? What color are these words in your Bible? They're red in mine. That means Jesus himself spoke. I love that. When Jesus himself speaks, it's like I don't know why, but I seem to listen a little extra better. So let's listen a little extra better. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can pretty much do whatever you want. No, that's not what my version says either. It says, no, without me you can do nothing. Nothing, nada, zilch, nothing. The title of my message this morning is The Four C's of Christianity. What's the title? The what? The Four C's of Christianity. And so the Four C's of Christianity, this first scripture is an indication. In fact, there's something here that's happening between the vine and the branch, and it's our first C. What is happening between the vine and the branch? What we call it? It starts with the C. I heard it over here. We're connecting. So that's the first C. If you're taking notes, write that down. Our first C is what? Connect. Okay, so we must connect to the vine. I'm the vine, he says. In other words, I'm the one that's pulling all the nutrition from heaven, from the ground, as the roots do. I have all of the strength, all of the power. And if you connect to me, if you connect to the vine, he says, you can overcome. That's what it says. You're the vine, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides or connects to me. Amen? He that connects to me, and I will connect to him. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Come to me and connect to me, and I'll connect to you. It's a two-way street. A connection. Now, what does it mean to connect? It means to bring together. If two people connect, a man and a woman, they connect. They're brought together. And it also means to create a real link. A real link is established. So what Jesus is saying here is, come to me, I'm the vine, I have the strength, I have the nourishment, I have the grace, I have the power, and if you connect to me, establish a real link. There's the key though, a real link with me, then you can overcome. Because it says, without me, you can do nothing. But if you connect to me, you will bear much fruit. Is that not what we want? Who, as a Christian, who wants fruit? Who wants spoiled fruit? No. See, that's what happens when the connection to the vine becomes strained. When the connection to the vine becomes distracted. Maybe strangled by the devil. You see, when that connection is impeded in any way, we will not bear glorious fruit. We might bear fruit, but if it's strangled off, if that vine is somehow messed with, then we won't bear Christian fruit. Now, do you think that the devil wants to mess with our connection with God? Has he, in your life at times, ever messed with your connection with God? He has with me. I'm just really tired of him. I just wish he would go away, but he won't. And so here we are in this great controversy, and we have God on one side who wants to establish an amazing connection with us. Because he knows on the other side, there is the devil. There is the enemy of souls who wants to connect. Apparently we have some young singers in the congregation. Welcome. The devil wants to connect to our soul, and God wants to connect to our soul. And you see, whichever one we allow to connect to us is the one that will nourish our soul. It's kind of a disgusting thing to think about that the devil would nourish our soul. It's true, though. You see, either we can connect to the vine that is Jesus and have power to overcome, or we can connect to the weed, the vine that is Satan, and we can have destruction to the soul. Is that not true? That's true. Turn with me to Psalm 50, verse 15. I love this scripture. I love this scripture. Psalm 50, verse 15. Oops, I went too far. Psalm, there it is. Psalm 50 and verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Anybody in trouble here? Anybody having any challenges? Is your life smooth? Can we trade if it is? Because mine's not. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will think about delivering you. Is that what it says? No way. It says, call upon me. Another, what's another word for call? When you get on the phone, on the cell phone, or you get on your iPhone, or you get on your telephone at home, when you are calling somebody, what are you trying to do, attempting to do with that person? Connect with them, right? So Jesus says, hey, pick up the phone. What's the phone in the Christian's life? Prayer. You guys are educated. Praise the Lord. Prayer is the telephone. Pick up the telephone. Get on your knees. Sit in your car. Be at work. Go into the restroom. Wherever you are, pick up the phone. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. Amen. Why is it so hard to pick up the phone? Why is it so hard? Is it hard to pick up the phone? No, but it's really difficult to subdue self in the moment when we need to pick up the phone. Isn't that right? So, call upon me. He's saying, connect to me in the day of trouble, and when you're in trouble, and I will deliver you. So what if we just made a decision when, before I even roll out of bed, I'm going to connect with Jesus? When my eyes open, the first things out of my mouth is, Lord, I'm yours, here am I. Before I move on with my day and drink my water and do all the things that I normally do in the morning, what if I just rolled out of bed right onto my knees? Amen? Amen? Amen. Everything else can wait, even nature. Yeah. You know, sacrifice a little. Amen? It'll make your prayers more fervent and urgent. So here you are, you pray before you get out of bed. I heard a man, he's 80 years old, he said to me, Brother Christian, he says, I've been walking with the Lord for a long time. I said, yes, you have, brother. He says, I have my days, and I say, Lord, thank you, I have not offended anybody. Thank you, I've not offended my wife. Thank you that I have pure thoughts. Thank you that I am victorious in you. Now I'm about out to get out of bed. Help me keep it that way all day. Amen? Amen. Amen. Connect to God. Connect to God immediately. Connect to the Lord. The first C is what? Connect. How do we connect? How about prayer? How about when you're in trouble? You know, I learned a prayer, by the way. It is so powerful. It's a little long, a little bit difficult to recite. But if you get it, if you wrote it down and you studied it out and you memorized this prayer, no matter where you are, what's going on, if you prayed this prayer, it's the key. If you prayed this prayer when you came into trouble, it will connect you in a way to Jesus that nothing has ever connected you before. Would you like to know what the prayer is? Should I tell you later or now? Now, okay. So you're ready to write this down. Ready? Something comes to you. You got to get in the right position. And here's it is. Ready? Help! Amen? Amen? That's the prayer. One word with an exclamation point. Help! Can you pray that prayer? Friends, you see, Jesus, he reads the heart. And he knows what that help cry is. And he takes that and he presents it to the Father. Not that the Father doesn't know, but they're working in cahoots one with the other for your soul. And so they sit there and he says, I know exactly what Christian needs. Send him a phone call, a text, an email. Send him a knock on the door, a loving family member to come and talk to them. A friend, a word in due season. And so God will send anything and everything we need that will help aid us in overcoming. Amen? Amen. That's how it works. Prayer in the hand of faith is the key that what? Unlocks heaven's storehouse. That's awesome to me. Why don't we pick up the phone? All Jesus is saying is, if you connect to me, every resource you need is there. That's a beautiful blessing. Beautiful promise. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. You will glorify me. I love that. So here's how it works. Call upon me. I will give you the strength and I will give you the power and I will deliver you. I need deliverance, friends. And because you've connected to me and you've been delivered out of the temptation to fall, then you're going to glorify me. Do you see the succession? It starts with help. Matthew 11. Let's go to Matthew 11. And our first C is what? Connect. Let's see if you can pull it out of this one. Matthew 11 and verse 28. My favorite scripture in all of the Bible. Again, these are beautifully colored words. They're red. I like that they're red because of the blood of Jesus. Come unto me. What does that mean? It means to come to me. And when I come to my wife, I'm connecting with her. I've come to this church. I've come to be with you. My endeavor, my goal is to connect with you on a spiritual level. And Jesus is saying, I want to connect with you on a spiritual level. He says, come unto me. All ye who are what? Weary. Heavy laden. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will think about giving you some rest. No, it's not what it says again. There's the word again. I will. It is his desire that we learn to rest in Jesus. Does that mean that I put my sword down? Of course not. But that means that if I go forward wielding the sword, having the shield of faith and my feet shod and the helmet of salvation on, and I go forward declaring battle upon myself, my fallen self, and the sin in me and around me, then I can rest in Jesus knowing that I'm not living a compromising life. And there's a joy in that. When we have a true connection to Jesus, we will be joy-filled Christians. Doesn't mean our trials go away, but God helps us because we're connected to put them into proper perspective. This is very powerful. Messages to Young People 429. A little time in sowing your wild oats, dear young friends, will produce, in other words, going out and doing whatever you want, no matter what Jesus or God says, will produce a crop that will embitter your whole life. So young people, right now, you could begin to make choices that could embitter your whole life. For instance, some of you that were here last night, you know my testimony. I was raised in a horrible home. My mother was 16 when she had me, 16 when she got pregnant with me, 17 when she had me. One choice she made embittered her life. While I was the embittered fruit that came out of her, it was tough because my father was not ready to be a father. He was 19. And you know the story. There was drugs, there was alcohol, there was infidelity. She leaves him, she has two more boys with him, and then we're married to a stepfather who was criminal in the abuse that we suffered. Being molested, all of the stuff that happened in my life, all of the junk. My mother made one wrong choice and it had embittered her life for nearly 15 solid years. Be careful, young friends. Be careful with your soul. Be careful with your virginity. Be careful. Don't give yourself away Save yourself for that special one God has for you. One wrong choice can embitter the whole life. I asked my mother, was it worth it? As an adult, I asked her, was it worth it to go be playing around at the hanky-panky? And she said, no, it wasn't. She had a hard life because of one wrong decision. An hour of thoughtlessness. How long? An hour of thoughtlessness, once yielding to temptation, may turn the whole current of your life in the wrong direction. You can have but one youth. Make it useful. When once you have passed over the ground, you can never return to rectify your mistakes. Listen to this. He who refuses to connect with God puts himself in the way of temptation, and surely he will fail. The first C is connection. We connect with the Bible. We connect with prayer. We connect with the spirit of prophecy. We connect with other striving Christians, not the backslidden ones who want to pull you down. Is that true? It's not about connecting with the world. We're not to be of the world, but we're to be in the world. We are to reject and eschew evil and attain unto righteousness. We are to walk forward in the light that Jesus has given us. And when we behold His Word, when we behold His character, we can become changed into that same character. When we connect to Him, we will eventually become like Him in character. That is the promise of the gospel. James 4:7. I love this scripture as well. There's a lot of scripture I love. This is another one. James 4:7. In fact, it's a mathematical equation. Anybody know what an equation is? What's unique about an equation? That's right. Both sides of the equal sign must balance. They must be equal for it to be an equation, right? Okay. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, what is the first part of the scripture talking about? Submitting yourselves is what? Connecting yourselves. Amen? Connecting yourselves to God's will. What is your will for my life? Not my own. But I submit to you. I surrender all. I submit to you, and I'm going to submit to you completely so I can connect with you completely. Is that not what it's saying? Sure. So I submit to you. Why in the world do we want to submit to God? Because we want to be able to resist the devil. The second part, right? So we have to submit to God plus resistance equals the devil fleeing. It's an equation, amen? This plus this equals this. If you submit to God first and add to that the resistance of the world and its temptations and the devil, then the devil will flee from you. Is that not good news? But where does it start? Submission. Picking up the phone. Dialing heaven. Help! And then, when we have the connection with Jesus, and that life-giving blood from the vine can flow out to me, the branch, then I have the strength to, and even the desire to resist the devil. Does that make sense? Without the connection, we can't resist. How many times have you said, well, I will never, and you did it again? Am I the only guy here that has that problem? And the only person? No. I guarantee you, every person in this sanctuary that has said, well, I will never do this again. I'll never watch this again. Or I'll never talk like that again. Or I'll never this and I'll never that. Without the submission, the connection, we went back to it. Every time. And I can look back on my life and I can see every single time that I made a great proclamation of my righteousness. Did you hear that? My righteousness. I'm going to do this whether I like it or not. Well, that's a lousy experience. You see, what Jesus wants to do is to write His law, His character, in my heart, so that when I connect to Him, He stimulates that within me, and I don't want to engage in what I shouldn't. It's a change of the heart, not willpower. I was shown early in my Christian experience all the do's and all the don'ts. Don't wear this, do wear that, use this version, not that version of the Bible. You got to talk like this, wear your suspenders, all the stuff. Don't watch this, you better watch that. Don't listen to this, you better listen to that. All on. Don't listen to that preacher, you can listen to this one. I mean, go to that church, don't go to that church. All the do's and don'ts. Because anybody relate to me? Yeah, I know you can. All the do's and don'ts. Now, does God have do's and don'ts? Of course He does. He always has. It's not a lack of faith or grace to believe and know that there's do's and don'ts. But friends, if I don't connect to Jesus, I'm doing it for the wrong reasons. I am trying to be saved, and I can't save myself. I can't. The law of God can't even save me. That's not what it's for. Jesus Christ, the lawgiver, is the one that saves me. Amen? And He justifies me, and then He sanctifies me, and then He'll glorify me. Connection to God is absolutely vital. Would you agree with me? So let's do it. And ask yourself this question right now. Is there anything in my life, and Brother Sean alluded to some of them, television, movies, Facebook, YouTube, GodTube, the BoobTube, everything, okay? Is there anything in your life that is causing the connection with God to be hindered? If it is, and there is something in your life, is it work? Is it money? Is it the internet? Is it sports? Whatever. If there's anything in your life that is messing with your connection to God, get it out. Oh, that's radical. But Jesus was a radical. Daniel was a radical. Joseph was a radical. And we could go on, Abraham, and on, and Isaac, and on. They were radicals. Are you ready to be a radical? I didn't hear a hearty amen on that one. It's time to stand up and get radical for the Lord. Not fanatical, radical. Because fanaticism is off the side. Jesus wasn't a fanatic, He was a radical. Why was He a radical? Because He went against the tide. And we need to go against the tide of the world, amen? And we need to go against the tide currently in our churches. It's true. I love this church. I'm an ordained elder in this church, and I will fight for this church. I will give my life. I'm not the Savior, but I would. I love this church. But friends, that doesn't mean we're free from problems. And Jesus Christ, when He was the head of His 12, there was still some problems in the church. He said, no, I'm not blasting. I'm just revealing the reality. So we have to go against the tide. We need to be radical. You know, I'll be honest with you. I think our new conference president is a little radical. He is. Did you hear his address on Sabbath? He was standing for the truth and for the right. And it started to divide this church that quick. It started right then. I know, because I had people at the conference who were calling me and saying, as we walked out, I heard little declarations of war everywhere in the hallways. This means war. No. The devil loves it when we infight. Because when we infight, we break the connection to God. And all the devil wants to do is break the connection. So it doesn't even have to be all the worldly stuff. It can be the stuff right in the church. The connection. And he gladly plugs himself in and says, now, I've got some stuff for you. Go fight them. Go fight the conservatives. Go fight the liberals. Go fight the traditionalists. Go fight the celebrationists. Go fight, fight, fight. And the devil's going, man, it's really good that I come to church like this. Right? That's the truth, friends. We can't just be like, you know, I don't see nothing. No. God says, open your eyes that you may see the devil sitting right next to thee. Sorry, excuse me. He's not, because we prayed and we're protected here. Amen? But I have been in some congregations where I'm praying the whole time. Lord, get the enemy out of here. It's incredible. Do you know anywhere that Christians are gathered together, the enemy of souls is there. So we have to pray for his protection, because the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and what? He'll deliver them. We have nothing to fear, except we forget how we've been led in the past. Now, Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a what? A new heart. Let's turn there. Ezekiel 36:26. The problem is, I'm going to run out of time. We're only on the first C. I was told I only get to preach till 3. Is that right? We'll just bring the food in here. I think that's the best message most people have, is the fellowship lunch sometime. And I want to give you the Word of God this morning. In fact, it's good that we fast many times too. And so perhaps we can do that today. Okay, Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. A new heart will who give you? I want you to notice how many times the word I, and who is this talking? Jesus, God. Okay, he says, a new heart will I give you. In other words, I can't make my own new heart. Right? A new heart will I give you. A new spirit. I want a new spirit, but I can't fake it. I can't act it. I can't act like a Christian. I can't put a new spirit in me. He says, a new spirit will I put in you. And I will take away your stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Who's the one doing the work here? Jesus Christ. I have to what? Submit. I have to connect. When I connect, I give him permission to do the work. So he can do the I, and then he can do the I, and then he can do the I, and he can do the I. There's four of them in that scripture. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put you a new spirit in you. I'll take away the stony heart. I'll give you a beautiful fleshly heart. Not fleshly after the world, but a tender soiled heart that the seed of truth can be planted, and that truth can sprout up into a beautiful plant being nourished by Jesus called the Christian experience, and it will win others to the truth. We have to move on. The first C is what? Connect. The second C. Let's go and see if you can find it. Sometimes the meanings are a little hidden. Let's go to Psalm 37. Where are we? There we go. Psalm 37. Let's see if we can find the second C. Now, is the first C vital? Yes. In fact, if we don't have the first C, we can never have the second C. So everything starts with the connection. All right? Psalm 37, and let's look at verse 5 and see if you can pull out the second C. Ready? The first word is what? You guys are good. Commit. That's the second C. The first C is connect. The second C is commit thy way unto the Lord. Now, that's different than connecting. And it says, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, what does God want to bring to pass? Us overcoming. Us being like him in character. So it says, commit your way. That's the second C. If you're taking notes, write it down. The first C is connect. The second C is commit. You can never get to a place of commitment with God if you don't connect. Let me repeat that, because I don't know if you understood that or if you heard it. You can never get to a place of commitment with God if you don't first connect. Here's a simple illustration. When I met Kobe, who eventually became my wife, when I met her, I didn't walk up and say, hi, I'm Christian. What's your name? Kobe. Hi, I'd like to marry you. Would you marry me? I don't think it would really work. Why? I was looking for the commitment before the connection had happened. Does that make sense? So we have to connect with that person, and spend some time with that person. Get to know that person's character. What do they like? What do they dislike? And if that lines up with me and I go, well, I don't like those things either, and I like those things too, I would love to have you part of my life. Once I've connected and I connected enough, I can get to the place to where I make a commitment. Amen? So eventually I asked for her hand in marriage. I was ready to go to the next step of commitment. It's the same way with God. He says, you know, come and learn of me. He says, taste and see if I be good. He says, connect with me. I don't expect you to commit your life to me until you see if you like what I am. If you like my character, if you like who I am, and you want to have this kind of relationship, I'm here. The invitation stands. God doesn't say, obey me or go to hell. He doesn't say that. Commit to me or you're going to burn. He doesn't say that. He says, come and learn of me. Let's start a courtship. And if you like what you see, make a commitment. I'll make one to you. You make one to me. You're mine. I'm yours. Amen? Commitment. What does it mean to commit? It means to pledge. When I finally made a commitment to my wife and I asked her hand in marriage, what I was saying was, I pledge my life to you and no other woman on this planet, right? Now, what's hard for me is when God says, come to me and pledge your soul to me, we go, it's just too much for me to say I can only have God in my life. I want to make a pledge to you, but I still want to have another lover, the world. It's not too radical in our relationships here on earth, because every woman and every man is looking for that real commitment. And friends, if we can keep a commitment like that to a spouse, don't tell me we can't keep that kind of commitment for a God in heaven. Because if we first connect to Him, He will keep us faithful. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:9. I'm using just very familiar texts today. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9, and here it says, you are a chosen generation. In other words, there seems to be a commitment here that God has chosen us, just like I chose my wife and she chose me. So God has chosen us, there's a commitment. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, what does it mean to be peculiar? Different. I hear that a lot. And it's not wrong, but the more literal and better translation of peculiar is set aside. You see, when I committed to my wife, I set myself aside for her, right? And she set herself aside for me. And so that's a true commitment. We were set aside for nobody else's use. Let's put it that way. Okay? In fact, God says, when you come to me and we connect, I will set you aside. You make a decision. We're going into a relationship here. I'm set aside for you, and you're going to be set aside for me. Set aside from what? From the world. Other lovers. To be used for and by Him alone. Is that going too far? No. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, I'm connecting to God. Is there anything that's messing with my connection? And is there anything that's hindering me from making a full commitment from God? And if there is, we need to get back into the Word of God and reject the evil that's there, because we're going to first submit. And then we can reject so we can overcome. Isn't that right? Okay, so let's continue on in the scripture. It says, you are a chosen people, a priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into the people of light. Which in times past you were not a people, but are now the people of God. Before you were not wed to me, before you weren't even committed to me, but now you are, right? Now you are connected and you've made a commitment to me, which had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. God says, look, when you come into a covenant relationship with me and you connect to me and you finally make a commitment to me, I will commit all of heaven to our marriage. I'll give you everything that you need. And we can walk together. And we can talk together. And we can grow together. And we can become as one. I love that. It's a promise. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. And while we're turning to 2 Corinthians verse 6, then I want you to put this in your mind. If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. And so I want to encourage you that it is a choice. Because God doesn't force us. We're going to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Why? Because we are connecting to Him. And we're having a revelation that I've been a whoring after other things in the world. That's a biblical term. Don't throw me out. And if I'm going and I'm going there and I'm going there and I'm going here, and God says, wait a second, you're connecting to me. We're going to have a commitment together now. You can't have other spouses because this is a covenant relationship. And so he says, look, so come out from among them, be separate from them, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You see, I didn't want a wife that wouldn't set aside every other man on the planet. I don't want that kind of wife. She does not want that kind of husband. Jesus does not want that kind of Christian. There's plenty of them out there, and He's looking for the ones who will enter into a connection and a covenant relationship, committed relationship with Him. He's got plenty of lukewarm professors. He's got plenty. And lukewarm professors, he says, I will accept you into heaven anyway. He says, no, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Just as I will serve a harlotted woman, I will serve her a bill of divorce. And so, friends, it's a very serious thing to connect. And once we've connected, then it becomes the most vital thing to commit our ways to God. All the way. All the way. No man would wish to find out that his wife was with another man. In fact, when that's, or vice versa, a woman, her husband is with another woman. God forbid another man. But those things happen. And what happens then is when that person has violated the marriage relation, the one who committed the sin has the worst amount of guilt in their heart if they have any sort of conscience. Is that not right? And so, friends, here's what I'm trying to encourage you with this morning. When we live a compromised life, when we are a whoring after the world and we're engaging in these things that mess with our marriage covenant with Jesus, it ladens us with guilt because we know better. And we know we're not having fidelity to God. It's the worst experience there is as a Christian. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so what God wants us to do is to simply connect in a vital way so we can make those commitments in our heart and He can keep us faithful. And then there's joy when you serve God because you're not a hypocrite. You're not faking. It's a real relationship. Second Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought I got to bring into this obedient relationship? Yes, every thought. You see, if I'm walking down the street and there's a billboard with a half-naked lady on it, I have to choose, Lord, give me help right now, and askew my eyes, reject it, and walk forward. I am a married man. I love my wife. She's amazing, and I don't need to look at that temptation. Amen? That's how it works in the Christian's life that's connected and committed. It's the same way with God. No, Lord, there's all these temptations around. And I know if I engage in these, they will pull me away. I am married to you, and I want you and you alone. And it says this. It says, casting down imagination. That means, you know what? You better stop fantasizing about the movies you're going to watch tonight after Sabbath is over. Don't fantasize about the big ball game tomorrow. I don't know if there is one, but if there is, there's better things you can do with your time. Can I give those gentle reproofs? And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's exactly what happens when self gets in the way. When I don't slay self and I just want my will, and here's God's, straight as an arrow. This is my will. And I'm going, wee, 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 this is my will. Ooh, I'm over here. No, I'm over here. No, I'm over here. And God's like, Christian, just come into alignment with my will. But Lord, I like it over here. No, actually, you don't. You think you do. You're just deceived. But I like it over here. No, you don't. You're just deceived. Where you really love being as a committed Christian is right in line with me, because there's no guilt there. There's no compromise there. And you can stand in the pulpit and preach without hypocrisy. You can't tell your children to be obedient and you're not obedient to God. They see the hypocrisy. I will set in Psalm 10. Psalm 101, 31, 33. Psalm 101, 3. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Here's the principle. If we're going to be fully committed to God, we have to reason this through. We need to stop putting things that tempt us in our faces all the time. Is that true? It's true. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that backslide, that turn aside. It will not cleave to me. No. Is he talking about his own righteousness here? No. He's saying, I'm connected with you. I've committed my way to you. And I want to have nothing in my life that's going to mess with my connection with you. That's going to mess with my relationship and my marriage to you. Is this making sense? Are you buying it? Are you chewing on it? Are you accepting it? Are you ready for change? It started, yes, 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 yes. Review and Herald, May 28th, 1889. Let us commit. The second C is what? Commit our souls unto God as a faithful creator. And stop worrying and fretting. God will help us to live above the things of this life and give us an abundance of good things to think about and to talk about. Let us come into the presence of Christ, ask in faith for the grace of God, and you will not ask in vain. She also has another quote. She says, there are many of those who are very mature in their Christian experience, and even they will sometimes err. Even they will make mistakes. But it says, Christ has not cast them off. He loves them so much, he'll give them another trial. Now, I think we need to pause for a moment. And we need to clarify something. If I haven't made it clear that it's not of our strength alone that we reject evil, I want to make sure I am not accused of preaching a works-based religion. What I am teaching is a faith-based religion that works. Amen? Because there's a bunch of other religions out there that just don't work, including in my own denomination. You can do this and do that and do this and that, and inside you hate the fact that you have to do all of these things and you can't do all of those things, but I want to do it because I want to go to heaven. Oh, that's a great motivation. Jesus says, no, connect to me. Let's enter into a covenant, committed relationship one to another. I will give you grace. I will give you the power. I'll even change your heart and your mind and your thinking, give you new perspective, new desires. And before you know it, the things you once loved, you will hate. The things that you used to hate, you will love. And we will walk two by two, hand in hand with one another. So I want you to understand this. When I came to Jesus, as messed up as I was, and those of you who heard my testimony, I was really messed up, emotionally, mentally, everything, even physically. And when I came to Jesus, he accepted me exactly where I was. Amen? He did. He accepted me with all of my baggage. The narrow road was wide enough. And I had all of my wagons and all of my freight cars of baggage with me. I had all of the world. I had all of the junk. I had preconceived ideas. I had a broken heart. I brought it all, and Jesus said, the narrow way is wide enough for you too. And I said, really? He said, yes. But as he moved me along, he said, Christian, have you considered getting rid of that, your childhood, and because it's holding you bound? And I began to explore and see these things that were holding me bound. And eventually, he helped me to disconnect that wagon. And it fell off over the cliff into the depths of the sea, praise God. And then he helped me unhitch this one and unhitch this one. And Christian, have you considered that this is messing with our connection to one another? I hadn't saw that before, Lord. It's okay. It's okay. Christian, I'm teaching you. I'm pulling you along. It's all right. I don't expect you to be perfect overnight. That's not what I'm saying. Come on. I'm like, oh, good, because I can't be perfect overnight. He goes, no, this is a process. Amen. It's a process. When you come to Jesus, you're not, bam, perfect overnight. But you are forgiven overnight. Oh, yes, you're forgiven overnight. Right then, not even overnight. You're forgiven that moment. Jesus, when I said, I want you, and I committed my way to him because I had connected with him, he said, good enough for me, you're mine. You're mine. I love you. Salvation has come to your soul right now. Did the thief on the cross have time to rectify his whole life? No. Is he going to be in heaven? Yes. That is justification by faith. Being justified. Just if I never sinned. Isn't that good news? Yes. Because you're all sinners. And so am I. That's good news for the sinner. So here we are, just if I'd never sinned. In fact, what Jesus did was what we call a big word here, he imputed his righteousness unto us. It was a gift, and it was charged to my account, his righteousness for me. So now I can stand before God as though I've never sinned. Why? Because this is me. And without Jesus, I'm walking around, and the devil's darts, they penetrate me. And God's glance and his judgment sees me, and I'm condemned. But when I accept the righteousness of Christ, I am therefore now a new creature in him, and his righteousness covers me. So when the devil fires his darts at me, Jesus says, no, we reject that. Or he says, no, we'll allow that one through because it'll help build his character. That's where we're going next. And then God's glance, his judgment goes onto me, and he doesn't see me anymore. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. That's good news, friends. That is the imputed righteousness. Righteousness by faith, right? I don't know why it's such a hard concept to grasp. But friends, we can never leave out the imparted righteousness as well. There's the imputed, the free gift. I can't earn it. But then when I come into that relationship with him, I have to keep walking in that relationship with him. And Jesus never stops. He's always walking forward onto heaven. He's always walking more and more into the light. Does that make sense? And that pathway narrows more and more and more. And before you know it, he's got to just totally carry me sometimes. Because there's narrower places in the path. And so now Jesus says, you're mine. You're saved. As long as you stay in this relationship with me, you're mine. If you go and whore off with someone else, you've made your decision. Is that not true? That's scary. That's scary. You made your bed, you can go lay in it. Or we can stay together. And so he goes, when we stay together, I'm going to give you a gift that's so powerful. And when you connect to me, what you're going to receive is the power to overcome in your life. Because I'm going to impart what you need every day. I will give you what you need every day to become more like Jesus. That's the imputed versus the imparted. They're both vital. One, I'm saved through faith by grace in Jesus Christ. Saved by faith through grace in Jesus Christ. The other is, every day I am given an opportunity to reflect that grace in my life, and so my life is different. My life is set aside. My life is committed to God. Does that make sense? Three of you. Does that make sense? Okay, good. We got to move on. We're only on the second C. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Matthew 28 in verse 19. This is probably one of the most familiar scriptures to anyone who wants to go out and evangelize the world. Matthew 28 and verse 19. Again, what is the color of these words? It's red in my Bible. That means Jesus, who shed his blood for me, is talking. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, not some, whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What do you suppose this C is? First one is connect. And if we connect to God, then He will help us to, and we see what we like, then we can commit our ways to Him. And when we commit our ways to Him, we see what He's done for us, we see what He's doing for us, what He did on the cross, and that He took my sins. I have to go out and start doing something and start telling the world about what Jesus has done for me. And so I'm going to commence the work of God. Amen? Commence, that's the third C. Without the first and the second, you will never commence the work of God, because you will not have an experience to share. Does that make sense? You will not have an experience of being saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So if we don't have that connection and we don't have the commitment, we will never go out even when it's cold outside. We will never go out even when it's hot and humid outside. You know, I love New Mexico. There's no humidity there. I came here and I've just been like, but even in the, God wants us to commence His work. That's right. I'm appreciative of the young people who are out canvassing in this summer, in this area. They need extra prayers because it does get hard when it's hot. It does get hard when you're rejected. It does get hard when you've heard no after no after no. But friends, if they stay connected, if they stay committed to God, then they will continue and they will commence that work day after day. But I'm afraid. I don't know what I should say. No. Let's go to Exodus 4. This is really powerful to me. This is a scripture God gave me when I didn't want to go and preach. I didn't want to go and sing. I didn't want to do these things because I was afraid of self rising up. I was afraid of self being glorified. And God said, no, I need you to go. And so here's Moses, who has a speech impediment. And he can't talk too well. And he's got to try to lead all these people. And he's like, I. You get the point? And here's what God says to him. Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth. Is that what God was saying? Yes. I will be with your mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. So what he's saying here is, now therefore go. It didn't say, I'm going to teach you what to say even right now. He said, you go. Now therefore go. I'll be with you. I'll tell you what to say. And that's what I claim on every single time that God puts me in a situation, whether it's on the pulpit or it's sitting across the table having a Bible study or meeting somebody on the airplane. I say, Lord, I don't know what to say, but you've promised. I just need to go. In other words, I just need to open my mouth and you're going to help me to know what to say. Is that what it said? That's what it said. But I'm afraid. That God didn't say it, Moses was afraid. Did God care that he was afraid? No, he said, that's why he was helping him. Yes, he wanted to help him. But he wasn't concerned that that was the problem. What Moses had was a commitment issue. He had been connecting, but he had a commitment issue at that point to the people of God. And so God said, no, I want you to go forward. But I don't need to hear all of that. Now, therefore, go, I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Now, did God teach Moses what to say? And how? Incredible. That's the power of God. Living in a life that's connected, committed, and willing to commence the work. Does that make sense? The commencement of the work is vital. I'm on page 3 of 6, so we're going to go very fast. Every word of God is pure, Proverbs 30, verse 5. And He is a shield to them that put their trust in Him. So young people, old people, middle-aged people, blue-haired people, doesn't matter. Anybody that's out there, God will go with you if you put your faith in Him, and He will protect you. He will be your shield. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth. In other words, therefore, go. Therefore, commence the work of God. That means to start something. Go forward. Put your foot up. But I'm afraid of failing. Go forward. Go forward. But there's a big, big sea in front of us. Go forward. Okay. And the ocean cleared. Do you think Moses knew the ocean was going to part? Now go forward. But I don't know how to start a ministry. Go forward. How will it be funded? Go forward. Is that not what it's saying? Commence the work of God and He shall bring it to pass. Jeremiah 29. But what if I do it wrong? What if I can't do this? Okay, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13. I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. Even in the trial, I'm going to give you thoughts of peace. Thoughts not of evil, to give you an expected end. My goal for you, young Christian, old Christian, middle-aged Christian, is that you are successful. Is that not what it said? I have an expected end for you. I can see it. You go out and hand out the tracts. You make the phone calls. You do the Bible studies. You do the preaching. There will be an expected end. And my expected end is this. Souls are led to the kingdom. I can't even talk. Are you mute? Okay, then can you do this? Right? They'll take it. It's probably the most effective way you can hand out a tract. Oh, okay, poor guy, thank you. I'll read it. Okay, I'll read it. You don't even have to say a word. Amen? It works. I know mute, deaf people that hand out tracts. They hand out twice as much as I do. Can God use anybody? Amen. Now, therefore, go. Commence the work of God. Because you're connected to me and you've committed your ways to me. Go, commence. Does that make sense? Precious hours are passing. This is Review and Herald, December 16th, 1884. Precious hours are passing. As an ambassador of Christ, I implore you to commence your work intelligently. That's what the Spirit of Prophecy says. Commence. Pick up the raveling ends, bind them off for time and eternity. It is not too late for wrongs to be righted. And while Jesus, our mediator, is pleading in our behalf, let us do our part of the work. Why has Jesus not come yet? If it was all done at the cross, which we know as Bible-believing Christians, it wasn't all done at the cross. If it was all done, then Jesus could have come at any time. But since we know it wasn't all done at the cross, and He is our mediator in heaven, why has He not come yet? Because He's looking for a people that will be like Him in character, because they've had a connection with Him, they have absolutely committed their lives to Him, and they have commenced the three angels' messages. That's what He's waiting for. He says, no, hold back. We can't go until we have sealed us the servants in their foreheads. They're fully connected. They're fully committed. And they have fully commenced the work of God. Now go and take them off this earth. Will you be that people? Will you be that Christian? The choice is up to you. I can't make it for you. Oh, I wish that I could. I can't even make it for my wife. I can't even make it for my children. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to give my wife and my soul and my children's soul every advantage and break any sort of tie to the world that I possibly can, so I can connect to Jesus and not connect my children to the world. And that means some practical steps. You may have to get some stuff out of your life. But friends, when we're in heaven, this afternoon I'm going to do a program for you entitled A Vision of Heaven. I encourage you to come back. There's nothing more important in your life if you're not out doing something for God. Your lay activities can rest today. Can I encourage you to not go home and engage in those lay activities? And come back this afternoon. God has a date with you. And He wants to strengthen His relationship with you. Sleeping in a way doesn't strengthen the relationship. It doesn't. If you're tired and you're worn out and you're beat up, well, the reality is most of us haven't been living a temperate life for the other 6 days of the week. If we've been getting to bed when we should, drinking the water we should, eating the diet we should, exercising like we should, all the things that really lend to a beautiful, balanced life, then when we get to Sabbath, we'll be refreshed, and even if the preacher goes a little bit long, it won't bother us. But we're so programmed in 20-minute blocks of time. I see preachers that preach for 20 minutes, and I'm thinking, those are my introductory remarks. How is that all done? But we live in a fast food society. We want our entertainment quick. We want our shows quick. We want to get into the story. We want to see the body of the story. We want the finish to come because I've got to watch the next one. If songs are 5 minutes long, they're too long. I want the 2.5 minute song, verse, chorus, and a tag. That's it. That's all I want. Everything is boom, 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 boom now. And my brother Sean was absolutely right. It is in the still small voice that we can make that full commitment to God. It is in that still small voice. You know, when I drive, I don't put on the radio. I don't even listen to that much music. As a musician, it's kind of funny, but I don't. I don't even listen to a lot of sermons. My drive time is my downtime. Lord, talk to me, for your servant heareth. And so we have to turn down the volume of the world so we can hear the still small voice. God's not going, Christian! He's not doing, wow, that was loud. He's not doing that. I wish sometimes he did do that, but he doesn't do that. The whole time he's going, I'm right here. Christian, I'm right here. And sometimes the clamor of the world is so loud I don't hear that voice. So let's move on. The fourth and final C. The first one is what? Connect to God. The second one is commit. And once we've connected and we've committed our ways to God, we go do what? We what? Commence the work of God. Now, if we connect to God and we commit our ways to Him and we commence the work of God, friends, we will become the fourth C, a conquering soul. Amen? If you're writing it down, take that note. We can become a conquering soul. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do some things. No, praise the Lord. You know your scriptures. I can conquer all things. That's what it says. I can do. I can conquer. I can commit. I can connect. I can commence all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there again, it's Jesus Christ doing the work. Isaiah 40 verse 31. I love it. I love that you quoted this earlier. I love it. But they that wait upon the Lord. In other words, they connect to God shall renew their strength. That's what happens because He gives us the power. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall, in other words, commence the work of God. They shall run into the work of God. They will not be weary in doing the work of God. And they shall walk and not faint while they are commencing the work of God. That's what this is talking about. God's not giving us strength to sit around and do nothing because it doesn't take much to do that. He gives us strength to commence His work so we can become conquering souls. And friends, if there's something lost in your experience, if you don't know why it seems Jesus is so far away, I can guarantee you it's one of the three C's. It's as simple as that. If you just learn to evaluate the three C's in your life, and it generally always goes back to the first one. If you feel far from God, I promise you, something's wrong with the connection. It's that simple. It's not rocket science. It's that simple. If there's something and you're not satisfied with your Christian experience, you just can't seem to draw close to Him, you don't want to go out and do something for Him, you don't want to even talk about Him. In fact, you even get involved in the off-color jokes at work and you act like one of those stud muffins like everybody else, but you don't want them to know that you're like, you know, a Christian. You're supposed to be wearing a halo instead of, you know, little horns. Well, I can guarantee you every single time when I evaluate my life and I look into my life and I see that something is not right in my Christian experience, it always goes back to the connection. I've allowed something in. I've allowed distractions. I'm overworked. I'm tired. I'm not studying. When I go to study, I pass out because I'm so tired. Whatever it may be. Friends, if you look at the four C's of Christianity, you can and honestly ask, Lord, am I in the faith? I'm struggling here. He says, yeah, our connection's kind of weak. All right, Lord, I want to connect to you because I want to renew my commitment to you. And I want to commence the work of God so I can be a conqueror. We're just going to pass over these pages here. Turn with me to Revelation 12, our opening scripture. And I'm hoping that you'll see something in here you've never seen before. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they, who's that talking about, friends? Us, the church, right? And they, the church, overcame him. What sea is that? Conquer, amen? By the way, the four C's are in this one scripture. They conquered, let's read it, and they conquered the devil by what? The blood of the Lamb. What is that? What sea is that? It's your connection to the cross. It's your connection to heaven, amen? So let's reread it. And they overcame, they conquered the devil by their connection to Jesus. And by the what? The word of their testimony. What sea is that? Commencement, right? Because they went out and they testified and they preached Jesus and what Jesus had done in their lives. They did Bible studies. They told their stories. Is that not what it says? Yes. So let's reread that. It says, and they, the church, overcame, they conquered the devil by their connection with Jesus and by commencing the work of God. And they loved not their lives unto the death. What sea is that? Boy, isn't that a commitment? I'll die for the gospel. That's the biggest commitment you can make. The four C's are right there and you never saw it before. Nor had I. But God, on my personal Bible study, you see, I was connecting. Amen? I was connecting one day, reading the Word, because that's how we connect. And he said, Christian, I want to show you something in this scripture you've never seen before. Oh, well, that sounds fun, Lord. What is it? And he showed me the four C's right there. He goes, I want you to put a message together that surrounds this whole thought process. Wow, that's really exciting. I connected with it. I commit, Lord, I'll do that. He said, good. Now start writing it. Okay, I'll put it together. I need you to help me. Good, you're commencing the work of God. And if you keep this process going in your life, day after day after day, you will conquer and soon your feet will leave the ground. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, friends. Listen, the devil is playing for keeps. Have you figured that out? Does he want to mess with your connection? Yes. Is God playing for keeps? Yes. Does he want to fix your connection? Oh, yes. Please, friends, I beg with you, I plead with you, let the things of the world fall away, because we began to connect with this beautiful God in heaven who's put everything on pause for you and for me. He's activated every single angel that would be activated, and that's all of the holy ones, for your salvation. He's the commander of heaven, and Jesus himself, who created all things, the planet, the planets, the universe, the solar system, you, me, the birds, the water, the mountains, the animals, the little bunnies. He created the flowers, everything he created. And yet the creator said, I'm losing a connection with my creation. And so what I need to do is I need to go down and not just connect with them spiritually. I need to physically go down and become like them to connect with them. Because they've lost the connection. And Jesus says, it's worth it to me. I have to go. I have to connect with them. And so he came fashioned as a man so we could perceive him and understand even more. And he said, look, I've come because I've connected with my Father. These things you see me doing, they're not of me, but because I've connected to my Father. You can do the same thing, church. He says, so I walk and I'm connected. And I committed my life from a child to be with my Father. And was Jesus Christ connected? Was Jesus Christ committed? Yes, he was. And then did he commence the work of God every day of his life? Didn't he? And he says, just do. And did Jesus conquer? Of course, it looked like he lost, but he hung on the cross because he was connecting to you and I, trying to encourage us, say, do the same thing I did. I just connected to my Father in heaven. And I can do this, and you can do this. You can do all things through me. I've commenced this work. I'll continue working until I can bring you home. And so here's this God hanging on this cross who's connecting, who is absolutely committed, who is absolutely commencing the work of God, and he became a conqueror for us. And we think we can't overcome TV? What we're saying then is Jesus is a liar. That's what we're saying. We can't overcome my anger and impatience? Then Jesus is a liar. You know what? My God, my Savior, is a truth teller, not a liar. Amen. And you can take every single promise in this word to heaven. Not to the bank, because the banks are corrupted now, but to heaven. So friends, I want to encourage you to connect to God like you've never connected. You see, I can worship a Savior who's done all of that for me. And all he says is, Christian, just do as I've done. He's not a dictator saying, do as I say, not as I do. No, Jesus came and said, just do as I do. And if I could do it because I connected to my Father in heaven, you can do it because you can connect to my Father in heaven. This is real. And it can happen for you and for me. Do you believe it? Do you see perhaps in your lives some problems with things that are messing with your connection? And has that messed with your commitment to God? Friends, all of us have it. I don't stand here pointing the fingers because when I point the fingers, I got three pointing back at me. Right? That's how it works. I'm here to encourage you. I don't even like standing up here. I prefer to be down here with you. Because this is where Jesus is. He's down here with each one of us. And he's saying, look, just do as I do. And yet when we get to heaven, when we get to heaven and we're there in all the splendor and the glory and the new Jerusalem has come back down on this earth and Jesus says, everybody come in to dinner. It's time for the conqueror's dinner. What does Jesus do? He becomes the waiter. He says, I will gird myself and serve you. Friends, I want to connect to a God like that. I want to commit my life to a Jesus like that. I want to commence the work that he has called us to do because there's other people out there that don't even know of this beautiful relationship that they can have. And friends, someday soon, we're going to be the ultimate conquerors. But even right here, right now, each and every one of us can overcome the temptations in this life. We can be conquerors right here, right now. God bless you, and may your names remain in the book of life. I'd like to sing a song for you, if I'm able. Before I sing this song, it's just a very simple song entitled, What Can I Give Him? The reality is, we have nothing to offer God except for our hearts. And if you come to a place to where you want to recommit your life to God because the connection's been impeded or hampered or even severed, and you're on your last little connection. If while I'm singing this song, you just feel impressed by the Holy Spirit that you want to rededicate your life to God, you want to reconnect to Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to come forward and to say, Jesus, I haven't been perfect. I haven't always done it right. And I'm letting things come back in and distractions. And I just want to reconnect. If it's your desire to reconnect with Jesus, then I invite you to come on down. What can I give here, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give here? What can I give here? What can I give Him? I can give Him my heart. God bless you, sister. Don't be ashamed. Come on. What can I give Him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give Him? What can I give Him? What can I give Him? I can give Him my heart. Come on, don't be afraid. What can I give? What can I give? If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give Him? What can you give Him? What can we give Him? We can give Him our hearts. We can give Him our hearts. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, for those who've come forward, I pray you would bless them. It takes courage to step up forward because maybe those sitting in the rest of the church might be thinking, oh, what have they done? But Father, it doesn't matter because you know where we are. And I pray that you would give these dear souls a special blessing on this Sabbath. May this be the Sabbath they can look back on and say, I'm so glad that I came because I hadn't realized how far I have drifted from God. And Lord, those who maybe weren't physically able to come forward, but in their hearts they came forward, and those who were afraid to, but they really wanted to come forward, Lord, you know, you accept them where they are. No one's more righteous because we're up here in the front. We're more of a mess, perhaps. Father, I pray you would forgive us for our sins. Lord, we've made mistakes. We have brought other lovers into our relationship. And we ask that you would please, we're so thankful you haven't served us with that bill of divorce. And you're that husband that's there and says, I know, it's okay. I accept you back. You're mine. I loved you before you were even aware of me. Thank you, Jesus. Please help us, wash us, clean us, make us new creatures. Help us to connect to you, Father, so we can make that vital commitment to you, so we can commence the work of just sharing the love that you've filled us up with and be conquerors here and now. Lord, I pray that until that great day of Jesus' second coming, you would keep us faithful. And may all who come behind us find us faithful. Lord, we love you and we need you more than ever in our life. The devil knows his time is short, and I realize our time is short. But Father, even if we've strayed far away from your will, we're never out of reach of your arms. And I'm so thankful that your arms have long enough, they're long enough that they grabbed me. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing and answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.